And welcome back to The Locker Room, proudly brought to you, of course, by Bayside Auto. And Neil, our next guest, his name is almost synonymous, I reckon, with table tennis on the Mornington Peninsula, certainly with the local Mornington Peninsula Table Tennis Club. Life member, former president, current club secretary, Max Coulthard. Good morning, Max, and good to see you again.
And thank you for inviting me.
A pleasure. And from memory, you've got a particular interest in tennis or table tennis for athletes with disabilities, and I understand the club's playing host to a very big tournament next month.
Indeed, we were lucky enough to bid for and win the Australian National Para Table Tennis Championships. They're going to be held from the 4th to the 7th of February, and they'll be held at the Centre, which is in the Civic Reserve here in Mornington.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, well, we're very excited because it means that we're getting people from all types of abilities, that some of them, of course, who have represented Australia, like Melissa Tepper. Melissa Tepper represented us in table tennis at both the Olympics and the Paralympics.
Yeah, that's right. She was the first to do that, I think, wasn't
she? Indeed, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So, you know, to have people of that calibre here with a range of disabilities from, we call them all abilities these days, including people in wheelchairs, people who are blind, people who are deaf, people who have a range of physical and mental disabilities, all coming down here to the wonderful Mornington Peninsula to just demonstrate what can be achieved no matter what your ability.
Now, Max, I was just wondering, you mentioned then blind.
Yes.
Immediately starts a question. What are the modifications that are required so blind people can have a go at table tennis?
Indeed. And in fact, for the first time ever, and this has been sponsored by Vision Australia, and we thank them very much for being a gold sponsor, they've agreed to sponsor what we call swish table tennis. Now, swish table tennis means that you have a big board right in the middle where you'd normally have a net. So you've got a big board not allowing you to see the person on the other side. You have a gap underneath that board on level, you know, so you've got a gap just on the top of the table where you can hit the ball underneath rather than over a net. But it has a bell in it, of course. The bat you use looks a little bit like a mini cricket bat.
All right.
And you virtually hit very quickly that ball with a bell in it underneath.
By the sound.
And try to, and therefore it's all by sound. So having any sight is no advantage whatsoever. You actually have to listen very carefully, which is why we put them in a quiet room. We're not putting them in the main centre. They're actually in a separate
people
room.
People cheering in the background. You can't hear the bell.
You can't hear the ball.
And they do hit it very hard, the ball very hard. Yeah. I can testify to that.
Very vigorous, yes.
So we should put some of them up against Michael Voss and see how he goes. That'll put the pressure
on Michael Voss is blind?
Yeah, well, he likes playing beer pong. I don't know if there's a connection there or not.
Well, we could bring that in. The exciting part about this, by the way, is for the first time in the history of table tennis in this country and throughout the world, this national event will be the first time blind players will be able to play and be recognised within the National Para Championships.
And so we'll have our swish table set up on one of the
We will
the
actually
courts.
Have another swish table which allows doubles and singles. The one we currently use is more a casual one.
Yeah.
The new one, which is arriving shortly, will allow you to sort of feel where the line is for the singles and doubles.
That's so right,
you
adds another dimension degree of difficulty to it, doesn't it?
So if you're going to do that in a separate room, as you said, to keep quiet.
Just to keep it a little bit quieter. Yeah. And there's plenty of room, though, for people to go and watch. And in fact, we encourage people to go and watch. But it's quite exciting because it means that for the first time in history of the blind vision or swish players, we're going to actually have standardised rules. So people coming from New South Wales and Queensland and South Australia and Western Australia, all who play by different rules, are now going to agree on a standard set of rules. And moving forward, we hope that this gets to, you know, being recognised as ongoing throughout Australia and hopefully at the Commonwealth Games as a new sport.
Fantastic.
Terrific.
And how are the entry numbers looking? And I guess, have we got any international people coming?
Glad you mentioned it. The numbers are looking good. Of course, as usual, Australians love to leave it to the last moment. And so in the last week, there's been dozens of phone calls and requests for entry forms. Even though it's on the web, people often prefer to ring up, and we don't mind them ringing up, and we will transfer them to our web address and make sure that they get their entry form and get it in on time, which closes on the 20th, by the way. Now, when it comes to international players, It's really exciting, and people on the peninsula will get a chance to see people from Thailand, from Indonesia, from places like Fiji, which they know. You wouldn't expect there to be top Fijian players, but in fact, the regional Asian Games are being played in Fiji in March and April, and so they'll be out here getting a bit of practice. New Zealand, of course, they always like to give the Aussies a bit of a belting if they can, and we will be getting them from a range of other places, Singapore and other, you know, who knows where they might pop up from.
Yeah.
But it's sponsored, the two teams coming from Indonesia and Thailand are sponsored by the Australian government through a smashdown barriers thing that they've set up to try to encourage goodwill between countries around our region to look kindly, and us looking kindly on them, and building goodwill between countries. So we're working hard, and they see sport as a way that we can actually build those relationships.
Yeah, fantastic. That and is, then I assume that covers their transport costs and accommodation and all.
Absolutely, we cover the whole lot. Yeah, it's all covered by the Australian government through the Smashdown Barriers program.
Now, on the Friday beforehand, the 3rd,
that's
when you do what, some sort of seeding or, I don't know how you quite, classification, well, I guess, is
it's
the
classification. Yeah. It's absolutely spot on. And, Neil, what happens is we have three specialists who fly down, to flying down from what is the head office, which for table tennis is in Queensland, and Table Tennis Australia are coming down here, and several of them will be staying in Mornington. And three of those are specialists in judging for the Olympics and Paralympics.
Okay.
You know, the level of disability. Because there's just so many gradings, you've eventually got 11 gradings, and you say, are you a 3 or a 4?
Yeah.
You
know? So
they have to do that testing on the Friday. They will put them all into categories. And then on the Saturday and Sunday, just to make sure they got it right, they will actually observe the players during matches to just make sure that they didn't get it wrong and someone looks amazingly better than they thought the day before where they were being tested.
Yeah, okay. So how does the tournament work? Some tournaments are knockout, sometimes they have round robins. So how's this one going to operate?
We have that level of flexibility, given that we've got the number of days, and those sort of decisions are going to be made by the international umpire who will be here and looking at the entry numbers after the 20th of January, and we'll make a decision on whether we've got the capacity to allow for round robins. But otherwise, you'd normally have a knockout in a lot of events. We prefer round robins.
Because more players get to play more often.
Absolutely, and that's what we expect will be the case in this particular event. So it's going to be exciting. And having round robins means that if you've travelled all the way here, you wouldn't want to be out
just play one game, first thing on the Saturday morning, and that's it.
And it's goodbye. And it's likely that all the singles and doubles will be on the Saturday and Sunday, as far as we know from the umpires, because the umpire has a decision on what days the events will run based on numbers. And there are two really large ones, which are virtually the two main ones sponsored by Bendigo Bank.
Yep.
Like down here at Mount Martha, and that those particular ones are likely to get, and they're what we call event A3 and A4, which are people who are standing with disabilities.
Okay.
In male and female.
Yep.
And being equal opportunity sport, we give the same prize money, males and females.
Oh, so there is some prize money available too.
Oh, yes. It's quite good prize money as well. So, in fact, it's far more than ever delivered by any other state who's run this event before.
And another incentive I think you mentioned off mic is that it counts for points toward the Commonwealth Games.
Commonwealth Games, yes.
So that's an incentive, isn't it, for people to come along and play?
Absolutely. They'll be down here trying to get those points and then off to Fiji for the Asia Games.
Mm.
We do very well. I mean,
and when are the Asian Games held?
Fiji.
And what month?
It's in March.
March, right. Okay.
So it's not far.
No.
So
being successful at the Mornington event might just get you a ticket to Fiji.
I'm sure that the Australian Institute of Sport is already sponsoring our top players, and they would have ensured that they get there to those games.
Absolutely.
So it's obviously the first time it's been held at Mornington, but is it an annual tournament?
It's the first time it's been held in Victoria.
Oh, really?
Terrific. Yes.
Yeah.
There's eight different, well, it's in cycles. So the first one was run in New South Wales, the second one in Western Australia, the third one in Victoria. So this is all new, and it's very exciting to see that it, each year since the first one, it's grown. And so in 8 years' time, it'll come back to Victoria.
And one of the other things you mentioned before we started chatting on air was that you've identified a bit of a need in terms of accommodation for disabled, and there's yes. not as much around the peninsula as we all might hope.
That was a little disappointing, and I was surprised, actually, when I discovered by ringing up all around the Mornington area looking for people or accommodation that could take wheelchairs. And it's amazing how few there are. Mm. You know, you might get one, two, three at about the most that you'll find available. Mm. Well, South Australia alone took five in Frankston accommodation. And I thought to myself, well, why is Mornington and, in fact, the entire peninsula so far behind? We have got plenty of accommodation, but it's not necessarily been brought up to date
yeah.
to cater for people that have special needs. And this is strange, given that if you look at table tennis alone, we have the largest number of people with disabilities of any table tennis club in the country.
Mm.
And that's at Mornington.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there's something wrong here, isn't there?
Yeah, mm. that's right. So there's definite opportunity there for mm. people out there to consider that sort of thing. Because it goes to more than just a tournament in Mornington. It goes far broader than that.
I should highlight that we at Mornington every week have different teams of people from all types of ability, from mental disabilities to physical disabilities,
yep.
using the centre. There's nearly 200 people a week using that centre with disabilities. And we've got over 600 players a week using the centre, mm. making it the second largest centre in the country.
It's fantastic.
And it's a morning.
And so following those extensions that we did a few years back now, we ended up with 13 courts, didn't we?
Yes, we're planning. We've actually drawn up the plans for another set of courts.
Oh, really?
To go on the end.
I was going to ask you that. You know, in an endeavour to attract other tournaments, we needed to do just that.
Yes.
Because 13's handy, but it's probably not enough, is it?
It's okay for the Paralympics, but if we go for the Nationals, the National Open, then we need more courts. So, we need to get up to about 18 to 20 to attract that sort of event.
Oh, well, it's good to know that the council is supporting this particular tournament.
They are, yes, and we really appreciate their...
And becoming very aware, obviously, of how popular the game is. And
they understand it's a community sport.
For all
8 to, people. What, their oldest player, 98? 8 to 98, yeah, that's a good range.
It's a fair spread, isn't it? A fair spread.
So we, and all abilities.
So we better just recap on those key dates. The first one is that if you know of anybody who's interested in signing up, that the closing date is Friday coming up, the 20th of January.
Yes, that's correct.
And then on that Friday, the 3rd of Feb, is when you're doing the classifications, which in itself will be interesting. And then the Saturday, the 4th, Sunday, the 5th, people who want to get up and have a look, just drop in for a while and have a bit of a look.
It's
up
all
at the
free.
Civic Centre. All free, fantastic.
Yeah, all free.
I was going to save up all my coffee money, but if it's all free. Well, but people can make donations.
We have plenty of food
and
drinks.
You might have to pay for your coffee.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. All right, and that's fantastic. And, of course, we've been talking to Max Coulthard, who's... Is he Mr. Table Tennis? Is that what you referred to?
Mr. Table Tennis.
I think I've been on the committee for something like 25 years. I think it's time
that qualifies him for Mr. Table Tennis, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It does. Fantastic.